Amen. Well, welcome to the second part of our Mercy Drop series. And last week, of course, we looked at the subject of man. And this time, we're sort of elongating that a bit. And we're looking at the subject of everyone. You know, there are a lot of people in the world. And a portion of those people believe in Jesus, and there's quite a proportion who don't. And, you know, there's always that sort of question, you know, why don't people believe in Christ? And, you know, some of those people probably think they're okay, that everything's good, that everything's going to be fine. And, of course, they have no thought of Jesus until that time when maybe someone in their family is departing from this earth. And then all of a sudden there's a belief in somebody or something. It's strange how people can sort of bring that thought into their minds when for all of their lives there has not been one thought about Jesus at all. There are a lot of people who don't really feel that they've done anything wrong. A lot of people will even say, well, you know, he's done good. You hear that a lot at funerals. Yeah, he's been a good person. He's done a lot of good things. So, you know, his name will be in Peter's book when they get to the pearly gates. Everything will be great and everything will be perfect. The whole thought of the story of the Bible and how it moves from Genesis and the greatness of creation so quickly to a place of tragedy, in a sense, with the fall of man. And yet, that fall of man becomes a key for what we know and understand as mankind. In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 23, is a verse that maybe we have grown to know and understand. But I'm sure it's a verse that can be a bit of an affront to some people. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Who, me? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is a universal statement. It draws in everyone from kings and presidents and prime ministers to the least of our community. And of course, when we look at our community, we probably think, yes, I can recognise a few people that would fit into this category. But this is a great quote that I read this week. The harlot, the liar, the murderer, they are short of it. But so are we all. Perhaps they stand at the bottom of a mine, and we are on the crest of the Alps. But none of these people are able to reach up and touch the stars that are in the sky. What truth is in that statement? Wherever you stand and however you judge somebody, not one of us here can reach out and touch the stars. That is the thinking behind what Paul was writing to the Romans here. Everybody, not one of us can reach the standard. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fail to give enough glory. You know, we might think tonight we've praised God really well. In fact, we've praised God more than people in our streets that surround this church. They're just sitting down watching television. They're watching Corrie or EastEnders. And we've been here touching the heavens with some fantastic worship music. And yet even that is a failure to give enough glory to God. We all fail to qualify. You know, in a sport, it's great to be able to reach that qualifying place, to actually be in the race. The Commonwealth Games are on at the moment, and there are thousands upon thousands of people who will not be at the Commonwealth Games because they did not qualify. They did not reach the standard that was needed. Every single one of us have failed to qualify. In fact, the standard of God is a very big standard. And it's even beyond the stars of the sky. It is a huge standard. And it's almost like God says, all right, you think you're good enough, jump. And no matter how high we jump, we will always fail in our qualification. We fail to reflect his glory. You know, so often, even maybe throughout this day, there have been moments when we fail to reflect the glory and the goodness of God to those that are around us. I know I have, because I've been grumpy. I have. I've qualified for the grumpiness. But we fail to reflect his glory. Everyone makes mistakes. It's a statement which is true, but it's a statement that can offend. Because there will be those who will say, who me? I know we have David in our church. Who me? He's the exception. He is the exception to the rule. But other than David, everyone makes mistakes. In fact, that word sin, it literally means we miss the mark. Every single one of us miss the mark that God has put down for us. I remember a long time ago, Joel used to go to archery. And I remember going along and watching him with his archer's bow, and he could hit the target. And I remember having one go, and I failed to miss the mark. And in the purpose of God, it doesn't matter how good our bow is, it doesn't matter how sharp our arrow is, it doesn't matter how good our eye is, we will always miss the mark. For all, for everyone, mankind has a shared human weakness. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Not one. Not even the do-gooders. Not even those who try their best. Not even those who attend church every week. Not even those who will read through the whole of the Bible in a year. Not even those who listen to 50 sermons a day. You know, even that does not qualify us for the standard that God will set. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. We read all of that and it's quite a depressing story. So how is there any hope for anybody? For anybody who's listening online, is there hope? You know, if we who are in the church are missing the standard, how are you at home going to be hitting the standard? The standard that God has set is a standard that we will all miss. But you know, the story is not a hopeless story. And I thank God that, as we heard last week, God is mindful of man. He thinks of us. And because he thinks of us and he thinks something of us, that continues to blow my mind. He found us worth having a plan for. And this is something of the incredible plan. And I'm sure everyone here could quote this verse backwards and inside out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world. God so loved the cosmos. God so loved everybody. God loved everyone. And he sent Jesus into the world not to condemn anybody. Now, we might be at that place in our lives where we think, I'm not good enough for God. I'm not good enough to come to church. I'm not good enough to serve him. I know I miss the mark. I know I cannot reach what God has set out for me. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. He loves you. He didn't just love the church. He didn't just love the do-gooders. He didn't just love those who would read the Bible. For God so loved the cosmos. Every person in Ustrad. Everyone who will look at this video. Everyone who's looking at Facebook today. God loves the world. There was hope. There was plan. And there was Jesus. Jesus, the most incredible plan that there could ever be put into place. Jesus, the heart of God displayed for us. Jesus, the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12 says, For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. When Christ came to this earth, through the love of God, the love of God who sent the only begotten Son. And that plan wasn't just for him to be born in a manger, but a great story that is. His plan was not just for Jesus to minister on this earth for 3 years, but what great accounts they are. To hear about blind eyes open, deaf ears opening, lame walking. Incredible stories, amazing accounts, but it wasn't just for that. Christ came to die upon the cross. And in dying upon the cross, Christ died for all. For everyone. For the whosoever. For those who try their best and for those who fail their best. Christ died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died. And for him who rose again. What an incredible plan God put into place. What an amazing heart God has. Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It doesn't matter if you are any of these that I spoke about earlier, the harlot, the liar, the murderer. When you come to Christ, all things become new. And if you are part of the all, then you are part of the everybody. And if you are part of the everybody, then Christ has died for you. Whatever you have done, whatever your past. You know, I've often said, I haven't got one of those amazing, incredible testimonies. But then maybe I have. You know, I remember as a young Christian sitting in awe of those that gave testimony that they used to be gangsters on the streets of New York, taking drugs and murdering people, and then they came to Jesus. And I'm like, what an amazing story. You know, I've heard people like Nicky Cruz in the flesh. What an amazing story of a man who was a drug addict, a man who was so far as we think away from God. And yet he was part of the all. But I was part of the all too. Because when Christ died for all, he died for those. And you know, I think I've told you before, probably the most outrageous thing I ever did was smoke a rolled up newspaper. That was radical for me. I thought I was the bee's knees with my rolled up Daily Mirror, lit by the bonfire. What a rebel! But you see, Christ died for all. Because whether you're the harlot, the liar, or the murderer, or whether you were me, we fell short of the glory of God. But Christ came, and Christ died for me. You know, this is the incredible story of the New Testament. This is the incredible account that gets shouted out time and time again. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. His propitiation, his sacrifice, his giving of himself, his mercy seat. You know, we're thinking of the mercy drops. His mercy seat is not just for us in this holy huddle tonight. His propitiation, his mercy, was for the whole world. You know, as youngsters, as children, we used to sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hands. And there's a sense in which, yes, he looks at this whole world. And it's his desire that everybody, that the whosoever would discover him as their saviour, that the whosoever would bow the knee, that the whosoever would realise that their sins, the price of those sins have been paid for. That Christ came for them. And no longer does he shout out judgment. He shouts out mercy. Mercy to the whole world. What about Paul to Timothy? You want to know what he says? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself as a ransom for all. He paid the price for everybody. It's almost like the devil would try to convince some of the people in the world, well, you're so imprisoned, you can never be free. You are so evil and bad, God would never want you. The price of your sin is too much. And of course, if we try to pay that price ourselves, it is a price beyond us. Because as we've already said, how can we reach the standard? How can we do what is right? How can we get to that place where we're reflecting his glory? But he paid the ransom for all. He paid the price for everyone in this earth in which we're living in. Oh, sometimes I think books in the Bible move. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That he might taste death for everyone. Surely I've got to pay for the sin. Surely I've got to die. Oh, surely all that's waiting for me is hell. All that's waiting for you, if you would just accept it, is heaven. No matter where you've been before this point, all that's waiting for you is heaven. You just need to open your eyes and see. Because Christ, our Jesus, he has come for you. And he tasted death for everyone. I think heaven's going to be a great place. You know, if we weren't so perfect when we're there, we'd probably look around and go, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Because you were never as righteous as me. You know, we were often told, weren't we, you know, you'll be surprised who's there. I don't know whether we'd be bothered. You know, we'll be so enraptured in the glory of God. It's like, oh, you know, pray you're not next door to Mrs. So-and-so. You know, that's what they used to say, didn't they? That your mansion isn't next door to the local church gossip. But we're not going to care. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. We're going to be in a place where, you know, we're not going to be bothered if we have to sweep roads of gold. We're not going to be bothered if we have to pick up all the bits of glitter that are around. We're not going to be bothered. We're not going to be bothered if we have to work for Jesus and go fetch water from the well for him. We're just going to do it. It's going to be perfection. And it's a place where there's no more tears. And no more crying. And no more pain. And no more suffering. And it's for everyone. It's funny, isn't it, how they accuse Christians of all things of being an exclusive club, because we've got such standards, and we have these standards, and We raise these standards and we say, oh, you know, oh, you can't really be a church of love. I don't know what disciples these are today. You can't really be a church of love because you're not really inclusive. But I tell you what, the gospel is the most inclusive message that has ever been preached on this planet. The most inclusive. You know, there might be some people who don't like a rainbow table. That seems to be on the news at the moment. And there might be some people then that are ostracised because of that. And some people are ostracised if you take away the rainbow table. But the gospel is inclusive. It is a message for the whole world. It is a message for everyone. It is the will of God that none should perish. No one. That no one should perish. Hey, I've just got one verse to go to. I love this. 1 Corinthians 15. We had the end of it read earlier. This is a little bit before. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. And when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. The God may be all in all. There's a lot of alls in there. There's a lot of everything. There's a lot of everyone. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For as in Adam, all die. But we see Jesus, that he might taste death for everyone. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. The gospel is a message for everybody. There is no spectrum of good or bad in the eyes of God. Because in our own strength, we've all missed the mark. But in Christ, we are made new creations. He paid the fullness of the price for every single one of us. The perfect Lamb of God hit the bullseye. He hit the mark. And we might have thought it was the tiniest of the tiniest of the minusculest marks that you could ever find. But Jesus hit the mark for the whole world. So all we need to do is believe. Is it that easy? It's what the Bible says. That's what my experience says. It's what God has said in his word. He hit the mark so that we could be restored in relationship with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, whosoever, me, you, anyone out there, whosoever, everyone in Cross Street, Redfield Street, whoever, 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 even up in Penrhys, if they believe, they will be saved. Even Argentina at the moment, they will be saved. Whoever, for God so loved the world. Lord, we thank You tonight for such an incredible message. That, Lord, You are the most inclusive God that there could ever be. Because You sent Your one and only Son to pay the price for the whosoever. It was a price I couldn't pay. It was a target I couldn't hit. It was a ransom I could never reach. But Christ paid it all. His blood is upon the mercy seat. And His mercy drops are falling on all of mankind. Just bless us tonight, and anyone who's listening online, just bless them. And may even one person realize tonight for the first time that God loves them and that Jesus came for them. And that tonight they can be born again. Thank You, Jesus, for everything. In Your precious name, amen. And amen. The Lord bless you.